a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, January 29th, 2024. Super Bowl 58 is set after the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens 17-10 yesterday that afternoon. And then the Detroit Lions blew a 24-7 halftime lead and lost to the San Francisco 49ers. So you're going to get Patrick Mahomes. You're going to get Andy Reid. You're going to get Travis Kelce and a whole effing lot of Taylor Swift. And on the other side, it's Kyle Shanahan. It's the pound-for-pound team that probably has the most talent in the NFL. And it's Brock Purdy who are advancing on. What are the big takeaways that you have after a weekend like this? Especially maybe if you're trying to look at it through the prism of the Houston Texans. Well, I would say the big one is, I think everyone's just effed in the NFL because Patrick Mahomes is that inevitable. And he's not the main reason that the Chiefs won yesterday, but the first two drives of the game where Kansas City did whatever it wanted against a Baltimore defense that obviously gave C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense a whole lot of trouble. That was all they needed. That was it. I don't know when this guy's going away. You look at his age and you're like, damn, I mean, this is now, what, 4 Super Bowls in 5 years? It's insane. It's just automatic and expected. And, okay, long period in that game where the Chiefs offense doesn't do anything, but 3rd and 9, game on the line. I'm going to throw the ball to a guy who can't catch a pass from me all season long, except for the last couple of weeks. Marquez Valdes-Scantling throws it up. Scantling makes a great catch. The game is over. So from the Chiefs' perspective, I mean, I hope some people retire. I just hope some people retire because at this point, Sean, I mean, what's the effing point? They have taken the Patriots' crown and are honestly wearing it in a, like, more intimidating fashion.
Yeah, though, it is funny, the, what, first 5 minutes after the championship Sunday, we're going like, so when's the next time the Chiefs won't win the AFC?
But this year, Sean, was the year. The Bills were hot. The Ravens defense could stop everybody. The Chiefs receivers couldn't catch an effing cold. You got Kadarius Toney, who's on Instagram Live. That was one of their main receivers this year. He's like, I wasn't hurt. He's yelling on Instagram Live.
I wasn't hurt. They're just playing me because I'm bad.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what he's saying.
That guy was literally lost them 2 games.
Yeah. No, I mean, the next, like, I'll put it like this. The next offseason where anyone in the AFC can legitimately be like, I think we have a real chance here. Our window's open.
Guess what? They don't. They're effed, Sean.
I think it's, you can tell yourself that when either Andy Reid retires or Travis Kelce retires. That is the only, like, off-ramp to where, like Tom Brady, what, there is, I mean, this is ridiculous because it's Tom Brady, but there's a 10-year gap between Super Bowls?
Right. But,
so,
yeah.
So it's like, okay, maybe there's going to be an off-ramp somewhere soon where there's a little bit of a lull between Super Bowls and we can sneak one past.
But that's what it's going to take, Sean. And, okay, both are on the table. There's been rumors about Kelce retiring. He just set the receptions record in the playoffs, which is insane. Andy Reid, that's possible, but I mean, before we get into the other teams crapping themselves, which is a staple of the Patriots' run, every team they played would screw up, and the Chiefs are now the Patriots because they just don't screw up.
Yeah, you really saw it in the Ravens game, too.
Oh, my God.
I was saying at one point in the game, like, the Ravens defense has committed a penalty basically once every five plays and are still way better than their offense. way better than their offense. And, again, they just could not help themselves with, like, stupid penalties. I Kyle Van Noy, when the Chiefs got the ball with under 2 minutes left in the first half and just ran it up the middle the first play, basically not waving the white flag, but they have Patrick Mahomes. Like, if they wanted to actually make a drive, they would just throw it on first down. And committing the after the whistle penalty there that then kind of sparks that drive, you're just like, oh, my God. And, by the way, really wish you had those 3 points back. Like, that is just one of the many, many, many stupid penalties by the Ravens.
I'm just going to point to one player. Because now let's talk about the losing. I feel bad for the Lions. I do. I mean, that almost touchdown catch by Brandon Ayuk off of a Lion defender's face. I mean, my God. Just all bad memories for Detroit fans must have been flashing before their eyes as that happened. And then, of course, they blew the lead. Like, you knew they were going to blow it there. But I want to focus on the Ravens because that is the team that beat the Houston Texans. And right now on ESPN, will Lamar be the next great quarterback without a Super Bowl?
Or Allen or Burrow or CJ Stroud or Herbert or anyone?
There's
the AFC.
A long list. But we focus on him today after admitting he played really well against the Texans in the second half the weekend before because he screwed it up. I mean, he had that awesome deflected pass that he caught. He had that touchdown pass that he threw as well. He did some truly jaw-dropping stuff on the field yesterday. And yet, all anyone's going to talk about for this entire offseason is that he threw a needless first-down pass into triple coverage in the end zone. Intercepted. That was it. And I guess, hey, thing that you do have in C.J. Stroud, you have a quarterback who's not going to screw it up. But that's the big part of this thing, is that you get to this point, and it's not make plays as much as it's don't screw up. That's what I remember the most from the Patriots run. The other team always screwed up, and then the Patriots just didn't. And with Baltimore, the one person I want to point to is Zay Flowers, who is a great player, but he lost his mind. And it wasn't just one play or two plays. It was three plays. He has the catch and run, gets inside the red zone. And then not only does he spin the ball on the chief defender who tackled him, he stood over him. And he stayed over.
Well, he also gave him a little bit of a push, too.
Correct.
He really got his money's worth out of the taunt.
15 yards. Yeah. But they overcome it eventually. No one's going to talk about this play. But there's a throw that Lamar Jackson made to Zay Flowers. And Flowers was not looking around for the ball. He was shoving a Chiefs defender who was right in front of him. And I saw that and I'm like, oh, my God, this team's a bunch of children. And then Flowers makes a great catch, great run, and he does the one thing you do not do unless it's the end of a game, which is put the football out over the goal line because it can get punched out so easy. And guess what? Snead on the Chiefs made a great play, punches it out, touchback. But those three plays from a great player, talented kid, that's the difference, and it's always, always the Patriots run or the Chiefs run. It's stuff like this. Yes, you see the magical stuff from Patrick Mahomes, but it was a long time between what he did on drive one and two and that throw to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. It's always effing up that helps teams like the Patriots and Chiefs move on. And that's where the Texans have to hopefully find themselves next playoff round. You can't have six pre-snap penalties in a game. You're done if you do that. And that's if you're going up against a guy in Lamar Jackson who hasn't done it and who clearly is feeling the pressure on himself. That's why he probably threw that ball down the middle of the field. He saw the Raven receiver holding up his hand, which he shouldn't have. What an idiot that guy was. What are you doing? Holding his hand up like
that. Randy Moss.
Right. Like, what are you? I don't even know who you are. Odell Beckham Jr. is the only name brand wide receiver on that team. And actually, he was okay down the stretch. He was basically invisible for the first half of that game. But he puts his hand up. Jackson sees him. Jackson tosses it. Jackson's probably thinking to himself, I'm finally going to have my play. I bet that for a second crossed his mind. And then all of a sudden, he saw that there were three defensive backs downfield. And he realized, oh my God, I just threw this away. I literally threw the game away. And he did. And that's why teams like Kansas City keep on winning. It's frustrating because you think that they're just never going to stop doing this. And as Sean said, Andy Reid could retire. Travis Kelce could retire. But the thing that is most frustrating about it is it just seems to the outside eye like you just have to stop screwing up and doing really dumb stuff. That's it. That's all you got to do. My voice is cracking like the referee in that game, by the way. That's all you got to do is not screw up. I know it's hard, but that's the difference. That was the difference in that game, and I guess in the case of Dan Gable, that was the difference in the other game.
And in the Buffalo Chiefs game.
Yes. It's dumb. It's always dumb stuff. That's what bothers me about this feeling that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to continue to do this. Somebody else should be capable of not pissing their pants when they go outside. Do we need diapers? It's aggravating. I don't even know who I was rooting for yesterday. I'm just mad that now, once again, because of just complete puke, poop, pee, whatever, like just spew, here we are again with the Chiefs in another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we probably would have gotten an all-time ending because it was one of those games where it was close. And, I mean, the Chiefs did not score in the second half.
They did.
The Ravens only got the field goal in their last drive. But, if Zay Flowers doesn't do a really touching tribute to Kadarius Toney in the fourth quarter,
really was,
then we probably get an all-time ending, whether it is Lamar or Mahomes ultimately coming out on top. But Mahomes, like you said, really didn't have to make any, like, he just avoided making the Detroit Lions plays that they did in the NFC title game with the fumbles on the handoffs and the drop passes.
The two drop passes back-to-back by the Lions. I was like, oh, and everything was already going against them. I mean, it was like, oh, on top of the helmet catch, you have back-to-back easy drops on second and third down. Jesus, Lions.
Yes. That's when it turned into, like, full-blown meltdown.
Yeah.
And that's something that, the Kansas City Chiefs did do this year, but they now have either stopped giving the ball to Mecole Hardman or have stopped playing Kadarius Toney. And so now that stuff doesn't happen to the Chiefs anymore.
No. It doesn't.
It is funny that they had two guys that did that stuff. And as they make the run in the playoffs, they're like, what if we just stop giving them the ball? Like, what if we just give it to Kelce every single time we can?
He is Sean Mapes. I am Paul Gallant. Someone's claiming that wasn't a bad pass. There were three people there, dude. Isaiah Likely been catching those end zone touchdowns. What, the guy who had 20 yards receiving against the Texans the week before? Like, what are we doing here? Stop. He's not Gronk. He's not Kelce. Stop. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Up next, we could keep on talking about Idiota. There really is something to be said for having been there before. There's a couple of lines we got to circle as well. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com, Fighter of the Night Man.
I miss you, Night Man, so bad.
Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
When you haven't been somewhere before, people can generally tell. And, okay, maybe it's not fair to say this about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but it is definitely fair to say this about the Lions. For those who don't know C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he's a Lions defensive back. He talks an ungodly amount of trash. And you know what? It's very funny, and it's very entertaining. And this ultimately isn't the reason that the Lions lost. This is just something that will get brought up when you lose. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson, in the second quarter, with the Lions up 24-7 right before halftime. Actually, it wasn't even right before halftime. It was with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. He started waving goodbye to 49er fans. Oh, no. Deebo Samuel retweeted the video of that because it was caught on the Fox broadcast. Someone go check on Lil Bruh. Laughing emoji. Laughing emoji. I mean, this is just 100%. You haven't been here before, so you don't know how to act. And I get it. No effect on what actually happened there. But it's stuff like this, or stuff like Zay Flowers, where you look at those teams and you just realize, yeah, they're not ready for this. And it's stupid, and it's small, and it seems trivial, and it ultimately, as I said before, it has no input or effect on what we just saw there. None. But you see something like this, and you're like, yeah, well, they let him into the club. He wasn't ready for the club. And it would be like one of those like rich people places, you know, like, oh, they let him into the Skull and Bones and he showed his ass. Now we're going to have him killed by, you know, the CIA or something like that. Like, it's that. Hell, I'll even point at Eminem doing it, too. Like, the Lions are up big. You're up 24-7. You haven't been here before. I get it. You're excited. You're on the road. Everyone's talking trash. Everyone's really quiet. Felt like Lions fans traveled really well to Levi's Stadium. But there is Eminem just flicking people off from his suite. Everyone that was nearby, just middle bird, boop, 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 everywhere. And then they lose too. And, you know, if you're a 49ers fan, how confident were you in their ability to get back in the game? You're probably feeling all right. You weren't feeling bad about their chances to get back into the game. Now, as they keep on showing that play where the ball that Brock Purdy threw bounced off of yet another defensive back. That's been the story of his playoffs this year. You know, he had the couple against the Packers, and he has this one here. I mean, a lot of just flukish stuff happened in the 49ers' favor. The fumbles, the drops, though, are things that you point at to the Lions, and you could talk about those two decisions to go for it instead of kick the field goal by Dan Campbell that backfired, but I mean, every single time I look up on my television, I'm seeing another mistake in slow motion by a Lion. It's if you're not ready, you're not ready. And it's a shame that they weren't ready because of the two teams that lost. Like, I think we all wanted at least part of the Ravens to lose outside of a few people that like it when a team that beats them wins the next round. But I enjoyed watching what happened to the Ravens, especially with all these bozo Ravens fans in my mentions who think Lamar Jackson's great. And he is, but they... this is why I would pick C.J. Stroud over Lamar Jackson. Because C.J. doesn't throw interceptions at the triple coverage in the middle of a game for no reason. There wasn't a throw that he needed to make. So when you haven't been there before, it shows. And for the Lions, yeah, we were all rooting for them. I think we were all hoping for the best. But you know, everyone's pointing at Dan Campbell. No, this is just a lot of them. A lot of them not being ready for the big stage. And I mean, there's a chance they never get back to it.
Yeah, especially because the fourth down decision or decisions they make every week, and everyone loves them when they work out. Even the first fourth down they went for that ended up in a touchdown drive. No one was like, ugh, should have taken the points there.
Yeah.
Like you only ever mention it when it does not work. And so, and for the entire first half, guess what? It worked every single time.
The entire season, it worked.
The entire season.
For the most part.
No one goes back, and the field goal that Detroit kicked at the end of the second quarter, no one's like, you know what? Really could have used those four extra points if you go for it there. It's all just playing the result of that. And yes, you know what? You know what really doesn't help is when you give up a touchdown and then immediately fumble again and give up another touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
That loses you more games. That loses the game more than any fourth down decision.
You know
what?
Someone had to say it, Sean. Someone had to say it.
Don't fumble it the first play of a drive after giving up a touchdown.
Do it the second.
Please.
Even the third.
At least run some clock.
My God. And of course it's Overreaction Monday. So now we're getting like all the try hard takes out there. I saw Cody and Landry and they're both pushing this like, yeah, I would fire Dan Campbell right now and hire Ben Johnson. Okay, good luck. Good luck. I'm sure that'll work great. The coordinator, because the coordinator for the Lions is the reason this whole thing is working. There's just him. It's not believing in Dan Campbell, liking Dan Campbell. Nope. It's just the play caller. Like, that's rhetoric you're also going to see this week. And I mean, wow, you're really thinking outside the box. I'm going to fire the head coach and promote the offensive coordinator. Yes, I'm sure the locker room would love you if you do something like that. If you're the kind of ass who fires somebody after losing in the conference championship game with a franchise that has not been there since the 90s, that has never won anything ever since the Super Bowl era began, let's fire him for getting to the conference championship game. Why am I stuck in this city with these dopes? Why? I just don't for the life of me understand why everyone feels the need to have like, I do this different. You're an idiot. You are an idiot saying that today. The guy who led the Lions to the Super Bowl. He didn't get there. You led him to the conference championship. I'm going to take him out back. Pop, pop, he's dead. Ben Johnson time. Let's go.
The most successful Lions coach in 75 years.
Ever, arguably. Nope, he sucks. He's out.
Nope.
He's terrible.
Josh Reynolds dropped the pass. So. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, it's because he didn't believe in Dan Campbell enough.
Yeah.
He was like, while that pass was coming to him, he thought to himself, you know, I think we'd have a better chance if Ben Johnson had called this pass to me that I'm about to drop. We'll be much better shape.
Ben Johnson was taking the points here.
It's crazy. People love to try hard today. It is as simple as the Lions pissed themselves down the stretch. And I know that some people are going to point to Dan Campbell and say that's a reflection of him. I'm not. I didn't even say the same thing for John Harbaugh and the Ravens. And the Ravens did make a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes in this game. But no, I think it's a matter of you have a young team that was not ready for this moment. In both situations versus the two teams that have been the most consistent teams in the NFL the last 5 years, the Niners and the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Niners, what, 4 NFC title game appearances in the last three in the last 4 years, whatever it is. And they come into a team who literally has never been here before. You think about who made the mistakes or who made big mistakes. You had Jahmyr Gibbs. Greg Olsen said it looked like there was a mix-up between him and Goff on what side the handoff was going to be.
Right.
And he fumbles. And Jahmyr Gibbs, rookie. You look at the other game, Zay Flowers motioning all of it. Basically all the entire third and fourth quarter for Zay Flowers, making a lot of mental mistakes. Rookie. So these guys literally have never been here before.
No.
And it really showed. I mean, even Brock Purdy
they showed
throwing
that
balls off of people's face masks.
Right. They showed that graphic, and it was the three Lions who have been there before. It's Jared Goff and two other guys. And then on the other side, like, oh, wait, so the whole 49ers team's been here before?
McCaffrey, I think, played in a Super Bowl. Or no, he didn't make the Super Bowl.
Who didn't make the Super Bowl?
No, McCaffrey.
This is his first. This is his first.
So basically, everyone other than McCaffrey has played in these big games.
I get everyone wants to have a take today. So sometimes it really is as simple as like two teams weren't ready for it and two teams were. And that's why I picked both those teams. You know, like, this is how it goes. Sometimes it's really simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text. And as far as the Texans go, all right, Bobby Sloak's still around. Gerard Johnson's still around. For how long on the ladder? And a power struggle in the AFC South? And why isn't C.J. Stroud doing this? Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time. Couple of thoughts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, YouTube.com, ESPN Houston. Dr. Who says, my hot take, all four teams should be proud of what they accomplished. Hell yeah. I like it. It is hard to get here. It's also hard to get back. More comments. Some people are pushing back on me saying that with John Harbaugh, I don't think it's all in the coaching. I don't think it's all in the coaching with Dan Campbell either. Here's the thing. With certain situations, are you supposed to hold the player's hand out there and stop him from being a dumbass? Like with Zay Flowers. Like, aren't these things that you should know? The coach can't go out there and say, little Zay, you need to calm down and give him a binky. He can't do that when he was having his three-play meltdown that he had. And again, maybe he should have pulled him off the field. Maybe he should have seen it. But when you're at this point in the season, the conference championship game, you got to pull your best player off the field because he's acting like he's a high schooler? I mean, I suppose there are other options at receiver for the Ravens, but...
Yeah, they really could have thrown just Nelson Aguilar instead.
That's so crazy.
I'm sure nothing wrong would have happened there.
Right, he'll catch the ball. Right, exactly. It's one of those things where I get blaming it all on the coach, the head coach, but there are certain times where I'm like, this was not anything that we saw against the Texans the week before, and now all of a sudden, they're a totally different team a week later? And it's the coach's fault for all of it? I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, especially...
A simple way to look at it.
I especially have a hard time putting on the feet of Harbaugh. Because, like you said, they're such a good team last week. They just absolutely murdered the Texans in the run game. And then they went and they had 16 runs against the Chiefs. 8 of them were Lamar Jackson. I'm sure like 5 of them were not designed runs
right, either.
So they really just abandoned the run, which is crazy that they did that.
But KC's got a good defense.
They do, but they didn't even try to run it on. I mean, Gus Edwards had 6 yards per carry on 3 carries.
Maybe you got to give it to him a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, we came into this playoffs, you the loudest of all of them, about not trusting Lamar Jackson as a passer. And then they just have him pass the ball every play.
I mean, that's the biggest that would be the biggest indictment is if they like just didn't try to pass with him at all. But ironically, they showed some of the issues that many people have with Lamar Jackson as a passer by throwing as much as they did.
I actually kind of disagree. I think because like we said, they got as close to scoring a touchdown as you can with the Zay Flowers play.
True.
So they were moving the ball, passing it. It's just they turned it over in the end zone twice and lost by 7. So I'm not saying that they would have won. I mean,
right.
I'm sure Mahomes would just let a touchdown drive if he needed to. But I think that Lamar actually, other than the Isaiah Likely interception or the interception where he was looking for Likely in the end zone, that was bad.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
No, at all.
I mean, if Brock Purdy throws that ball,
we're killing him.
Well, also the DB drops it.
But two DBs drop it.
Yeah,
and then the third one drops it.
Bounces off of one DB into another DB. But I think the Ravens did a decent job moving the ball. They did a better job moving the ball than the Chiefs did in the second half. It's just that, again, they just made killer mistakes.
Killers. So, the Texans coaching staff. It looks, at least right now, 10:38 Central Time on January 29th, that they will have both Bobby Slowick and Gerard Johnson back. Now, the Steelers and Saints are two teams with available jobs that have interviewed him. The Saints interviewed Johnson a second time on Saturday. Pittsburgh just interviewed Arthur Smith. I almost feel like they're going to hire Arthur Smith if they interviewed him, mainly because of the success that he had with Tannehill. I bet that they think to themselves, well, maybe he can do a salvage job with any of these very boring quarterbacks. The Bucs also made a request to interview Jerod Johnson. So, just like we did on Friday, to Jerod, I would ask, which of these situations set you up for long-term success or for the next job? The Steelers, who have a bad quarterback situation right now, not an easy way to draft a new one. A head coach in Mike Tomlin who might want to leave. The Saints, who are run by Dennis Allen, but not particularly well. Hey, but they have talked to him twice. And then the Bucks, who you're going to be working with right now, not even necessarily Baker Mayfield, who is a free agent. So those are the three openings for Jerod Johnson right now to potentially be offensive coordinator elsewhere. The Browns hired Ken Dorsey, who was most recently with the Buffalo Bills. You might remember him from throwing a massive temper tantrum once in the box, and it got caught on camera. And Kellen Moore, he will have an open mouth on the sideline for the Philadelphia Eagles, who hired him as their offensive coordinator.
So Eagles fans can throw stuff in his mouth as he's standing there slack jaw.
You should wear a mask, honestly. All right. Let's move on.
Like the Andy Reid one?
Oh, yeah. Where it's barely on. No, that one's see-through. You can't do that. The face shield.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to block things from entering it. Yes.
Oh, that's true. If the Eagles fans start throwing batteries or something, then yeah, okay. Molotov cocktails. Next step of Eagles fandom. Deshaun Watson is recruiting Bengals free agent wide receiver T. Higgins. Texans? Why isn't C.J. Stroud doing this? Why aren't we being made aware of C.J. Stroud doing this? Quincy Avery has a podcast. That's the quarterback coach with some takes. That also is like Deshaun Watson's guy, had Deshaun Watson on his podcast, and I guess Deshaun made a pitch for T. Higgins, who is a Clemson guy, to play with Deshaun for the Browns. Huh. I think the Texans can make a bigger push. Of all the free agents that are at receiver, there's a chance the Texans don't sign any of them because the Patriot way, where Nick Casario's from, they never signed receivers. Some people are going to want Mike Evans. Maybe you get him for less money because he's from Galveston. But of all the guys out there, I think T. Higgins is the one I would want to bring in more than Mike Evans.
Yeah, I don't know how the Browns are going to be able to do this, because isn't this the year where Watson's contract like balloons crazy high, mm-hmm. like where the cap hit actually like comes in full effect?
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be tricky.
I feel like they're going to be losing guys more than gaining guys.
I'm with you on that front, yeah.
But, yeah. Also, Brandon Ayuk, if the Niners don't re-sign him, I would add him to the Texans list at wide receiver of maybe trade for Ayuk. Because, I don't know, the Niners, there's no way the Niners can be able to pay all the good players that they have on their team. Someone's going to get, shipped out on a deal.
You would think so. I wonder which ones it'll be. But, yeah, that's going to be tough to keep that whole thing together.
Yeah, because Debo just signed a deal.
Yeah.
I think Kittle – no, maybe Kittle doesn't have a deal. McCaffrey has a deal. So it's like, he's one of the ones that you would look at.
But that is a good point.
That's just a side Texans thing.
I like that.
More on that. The countdown to free agency continues.
Ooh, yeah, that's our next countdown. We start that tomorrow. How about
Texans
that?
Free agency
countdown. I like it. In the AFC South, is there dysfunction? A story came out about how there may be dysfunction and discord between Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke. Baalke is the general manager of the Jags. Peterson's the head coach. Baalke had issues, if I'm not mistaken, with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. So Baalke publicly denied it. The fact that he came out to deny it publicly, to me, says that it's going on. I think if there was nothing going on, you just ignore something like this. You're actually addressing it, where he says, a lot of what's written, a lot of the narratives out there are just false in a recent press conference. Plain and simple, false narratives. When you go through tough times, continued Baalke, you find out a lot about people. The season didn't end the way we wanted it to. We had some strong conversations throughout the year about where things were at and where things were trending. Great communication, great collaboration. I respect Doug Peterson and everything that he does. All right, sure. Sure, we believe you.
Yeah, it's never great when your GM has to go on the record and say, I respect our head coach.
Why did he feel the need to do
Shouldn't that go unsaid?
It should go unsaid, yes.
Because at least when Nick Caserio comes out and denies that he's going to the Patriots, at least he then doesn't go to the Patriots. Like, there's an actual move that doesn't happen. Where this, like, you are just breathing life into it because there's no way to definitively not have a power struggle in public, you know?
Keep it behind the scenes. And just ignore, and then ignore some more. Hey, fun fact, Sean. Guess how much money Taylor Swift has made for the NFL?
$3
billion. $331.5 million.
It's not worth it.
Peanuts.
What are we doing? Also, I don't really know how they turn that,
I don't either.
Taylor Swift into money.
I don't either.
Is it just extra viewers? But that's not actual money yet.
Per Apex Marketing Group, this number was calculated January 22nd. It comes from print, digital, radio, TV highlights, and social media mentioning Swift going back to September 24th, and then figuring out the equivalent dollar value for each instance based on reach and impact. Online news and digital content has created the most value, followed by social media. So there you go. Making lots of money with all those psychopath Taylor Swift fans that are now diehard NFL fans that are getting mad about Kadarius Toney being on the field.
Yeah, that are, I guess, watching the are watching State Farm commercials and thus turning it into money for the
probably
NFL.
Getting mad. Like, why
they replace the old Jake?
Why isn't Travis Kelce doing these commercials? Why isn't Patrick Mahomes?
Really, they're bringing back the Geico caveman again?
I mean, that's where Travis got to go. Travis is everywhere now.
Yeah.
Quincy Avery tweeted, I do not want to see Taylor Swift during the game tomorrow. I do not care what your kid will now ask you questions about football because they show her, and he has been canceled. Amazing that that's what got Quincy Avery canceled. And also, there's something going on that involves Taylor Swift, and it's very bad. Very, very bad. So now you know.
Not good. Not good stuff. But maybe the, add the legislation to safeguard us against
artificial
AI.
Intelligence?
Yeah, AI,
you know
or
what?
At
if
least
this,
images.
Taylor Swift. Artificial
careful.
Intelligence,
careful.
Taylor Swift did things for our online sins.
Tread careful.
I treaded.
Look it up, folks.
Don't look it up.
No, just look up the story.
Look up the story, but don't look that up.
No.
It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big game tonight in college basketball. The Cougs, they're going to take on Texas. I thought this story was fake. I truly did. But Texas is once again embroiled in another controversy involving hand signs. We need to discuss. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
God loves a terrier.
To the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm making a very lewd gesture. YouTube, check it out.
Before
ESPN
pulled,
Houston.
Before we get pulled off of YouTube.
We might get pulled off of YouTube for this. Sean Mapes behind the glass, or on Twitch, or wherever. I saw this headline, and I looked at it multiple times over the weekend because I did not think it could possibly be real, because it feels like it has to be some sort of prank. I've kind of gotten to that point with things I see on the internet. I wonder what is real, what's being done as a prank, what's being staged. And I saw on my Instagram, which is generally a pretty most of the things I see on Instagram are from meme accounts and dumb stuff. So I assumed that this was somebody making fun of Texas. But nope. During a Texas BYU game in Utah, there was a row of Cougar fans, students, who were sitting and wearing shirts that spelled out horns down. That's it. And I'm not sure who called the police, if you will, but these shirts were removed. I don't know if the horns down shirts were being worn while game was actually being played, or if it was just during warm-ups, but the removal of those shirts is just another example of horns down, which truly does not seem like a big deal to most people, including, I think, most Longhorns, somehow still finding a way on a weekly basis now to occupy the sports media news space. I'm trying to figure out how. And this time, I actually have a theory, but I don't even believe this. Now, my theory is that no one from Texas told them to take these off. My theory is BYU, a Mormon school, thought that this was poor sportsmanship and not the way of the Mormons. That's what I think happened. And the funny thing is that in doing a gesture of good sportsmanship and trying to uphold the Mormon tradition, for those who don't know, if you've ever met a Mormon person, they're generally very nice. I don't know if they're nicer than anybody else, but it does at least seem that way based off of South Park and the Book of Mormon.
They don't drink alcohol. They don't drink coffee. So they're normally pretty normal people. They're very, very calm. Nice people.
They seem to be very calm and very nice, but would it not be hilarious if in getting rid of these shirts, they directly led to Texas getting the bleep made fun of it for another week about how sensitive and soft they are when it comes to horns down?
Yeah, the BYU coach actually addressed it.
He addressed it? Yeah. Oh, no.
I have the sound.
I don't know. You guys reported on this horns down t-shirt. Are you guys hearing this?
Yeah.
The t-shirt. Yeah. And just know from our student, from our, you know, they were taken off before the game started, right? And from our, from the Rock and from our players and from our student body, that's just not us. That's not how we roll. And it was just a miscalculation on just a couple eager kids.
But here's the thing. This is not bad. Honestly, there are so many worse things that you could say. Saying horns down, it's not a slur. It's not offensive to anyone except for a Texas fan. I've heard some people say that saying horns down is the equivalent of giving someone a middle finger if they're from Texas. Stop. That's babyish as well. This is for Mormons, as polite as trash talk gets. It's pretty nice. This is not Jazz fans and all those Rockets Jazz series back in the day who are not so Mormon. Let's just say that.
The BYU coach wouldn't love some of the things that they
He would have
doing.
Hated that. He would have hated that. But this, there's a part of me that almost wonders, is this like a false flag operation being done by BYU to punish a leaving the Big 12 Texas team, where they have the shirts on and they tell them to take the shirts off? They know it's going to become a scandal. They know that Texas is going to get roasted for it. And they get some cool points now that they've joined the Big 12, because everyone hates Texas in the Big 12, especially the schools that are staying. That was my big brain conspiracy theory.
I don't know. I don't know if that's actually what these tricky Mormons are doing, but that's 100% what every other team should do.
Right.
Every other team should do it.
Just do it.
Like, even if it's, like, even on your own floor, just do it. Because that's what, yeah, that's what, until the BYU coach, you know, said that in the post game. Everyone just assumed that somehow Texas just has pull to be like, no, get those. They're LeBron and Russell Westbrook just pointing at fans, being like, get them out. Make them change their shirts.
can we have tonight with the Cougs Texas game, mm-hmm. big game for Houston, biggest game for Texas. It's a big game, right? I mean, this is the best team in the Big 12 based off of the couple losses by Kansas, right?
Yeah.
This moment in time, probably highest
Kansas
ranked.
Kansas are the two best teams.
Right, okay. So, it's a big game. My idea is they wear horns-down shirts into the arena, the players.
Yeah, or the layup line.
In the layup line. And then Kelvin Sampson makes a big show about how this is disrespectful. Now, the thing is, he is the one person who will not. This is maybe the one Big 12 coach, because he coached at Oklahoma. This is probably the one Big 12 coach who was like, F Texas, like, if you were getting him off the record.
Yeah,
Based off of that little quote that we talked about from last week where he addressed the horns down scandal, I feel like Kelvin Sampson would actually be like, you know what, we should do this. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we need – what needs to happen is U of H fans going to Austin – for this game, or in Austin already.
Yeah.
That are going to the game. Like, I know Andrew Carlson, our very own Andrew Carlson, is going to the game. He's leaving after Connor Beard to go to the game.
Is he going to make it? I don't think he's going to make it.
We'll cut it close, right? Leaves at 3,
hours. I drove back from Austin yesterday, and I left at 11, and it took me like slightly over 3 hours to get back. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think he's going to make it. Driving into Austin at rush hour
at
traffic?
5:00.
That city can't handle traffic.
Yeah, absolutely.
That city can't handle anything.
Absolutely not. But the what Andrew Carlson needs to do is to wear a horns down shirt. Make sure ESPN catches him and then take it off. and then take it off and make it seem like it.
He wants a reason to take off the shirt. Let's be honest, right?
He's just looking for excuses.
Well, he's like me. Andrew and I, we're looking for excuses to take our shirts off. What's wrong with that? If you're in good shape, you want to take your shirt off.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I've often said you either have to be in really good shape or just really bad shape. And it's it's fun if you take your shirt off.
It's funny if you do it
If you're anywhere in the middle, it's not okay to take your shirt off.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work out so well. He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube. At ESPN Houston on Twitch as well. Coming up next, there is a chance that both the Ravens and Lions have gone as far as they'll ever go with their head coach, with their quarterback. It's something that the Houston Texans have to keep in mind as well, because that loss in Baltimore might have been as far as they'll ever go. How do they avoid doing that? We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hear your family.
Look at our family now.